Departure with a Belly. Chapter 116. How long have I had to wait because the operation was delayed? If not for that delay, Alaric and Victoria would be divorced by now. All of this would not have happened then, Claudia stated. She then grabbed Elaine's hand. I know you're saying this for my sake, but old Mrs. Cadogan's operation must be a success. That is the only way for me to even stand a chance to get together with Al. Otherwise, the greatest danger at hand is a divorce that is constantly postponed. I don't even know if I can warn Christopher off doing anything right now. You've always been good with words. Can you help me talk to him? Tell him that he cannot be rash or do anything foolish. I won't forget what you've done for me once I'm Mrs. Cadogan. To Elaine, Claudia's last sentence sounded like a promise. Don't worry, Claudia, she said. I'll help you. Claudia shot her a grateful look. Thank you, Elaine. You are my very best friend. After leaving the hospital, Elaine called Christopher to ask him to meet with her. Christopher felt no goodwill toward Claudia's friends due to how they always humiliated her. Hence, if not for the fact that Elaine knew Claudia, he would have punched her in the face. Still, just because he would not punch her did not mean he would be nice to her. What do you want? He asked bluntly. He returned to his usual thuggish attitude whenever Claudia was not around. His attitude infuriated Elaine so much that she wanted to curse him out. However, she had no choice but to suppress her rage due to Claudia's request. Claudia asked me to pass on a message, she replied. Claudia? What does she want? His entire stance changed the moment he heard Claudia's name. She said you should not be rash and do anything to Victoria. He chuckled. Even after all these years, she's still as kind as ever. Her wound will leave her with a scar, right? Thus, I must teach Victoria a lesson. I understand your urge to defend Claudia, but if you attack Victoria so soon after the incident, people will gossip about Claudia. She's a kind woman who does not deserve to be bad, mouthed. He finally understood what she meant now. You're telling me to wait a while, he asked. That's right, she confirmed with a smirk. Wait a few days before attacking her in a remote place with no one around. Who would link the attack to Claudia by then? He took a puff of his cigarette and shuffled to rest his weight on one foot. I see. Deep down, Elaine was disgusted by the way he held himself. However, Claudia had given her a task, so she suppressed her disgust and said, "While she told you not to do that, as her friend, I want to avenge her as well. If you truly like her, you'll wait for me to tell you when you can act." He shot her a look. "What's your motive here?" His question stunned her. "What?" "Claudia asked you to tell me not to do anything to Victoria, but now you're telling me to wait for your signal. Do you have something against this Victoria?" he asked. Her face went pale. "That's none of your business. If you want to avenge Claudia, you'll work with me. Don't poke your nose where it doesn't belong." He coldly snorted. "You're quite the schemer. I want revenge, but don't you think you can use me?" "Use you? If I have something against Victoria, it's all because of Claudia. Can you say you have nothing against Victoria?" Her explanation actually made sense to him. Ever since he knew Victoria had injured Claudia, he had thought of Victoria as his enemy. He remembered her since they had studied in the same place. In his memories, Victoria was an extremely beautiful woman. He had not expected her to do something so hurtful. As expected, only his Claudia was kind. Every other woman was just a wolf in sheep's clothing. Enough. That's all I have to say to you for now. I'll contact you when the time comes. You either do as I say or get lost, Elaine declared. She walked away right after saying that. When she was finally gone from his view, he spat on the ground as a murderous look flashed in his eyes. Stupid woman. Once I have Claudia, all of you are doomed. Perhaps it was because Alaric and Victoria finally had a talk at the hospital, but after returning home, the two of them were surprisingly able to coexist peacefully. It was the first time that had happened since Claudia's return. As Griselda was going to be operated on in a few days, Alaric did not go anywhere but to his office and back. However, the couple continued to act the same as always around each other. Benedict told them to wait for his notice after that day. Adrian flew off to deal with work while Mary stayed behind to accompany Griselda on trips around the city. As she was an easily excitable woman, Griselda had a lot of fun touring the city with her. Hence, Victoria did not have to worry about Griselda. Once she was done with work in the morning, she headed down to the dessert shop, hoping to reward herself with some cake. With a Bluetooth earpiece in her ear, she headed over to the confectionery cabinet to select her cake as Summer lectured her. You're done with work, right? Have you had lunch yet? Summer asked. I'm getting some food right now, Victoria replied. What? You're only eating now? Victoria, do you even realize that you are now a mother? Even if you're not hungry, the baby is. I know. Look, I'm getting food before that happens. Summer's tone might be harsh, but her words filled Victoria with warmth. In this huge city, she actually had someone with whom she could confide about everything in her life. Summer was the only person Victoria trusted to know about the baby and not use the knowledge to hurt Victoria. Summer scoffed. You sound proud of yourself. What time is it? You're starving my future godson or goddaughter. Victoria could not resist smiling as her voice sweetened in her reply. I know. I know. I'll take a break earlier to get food next time. Humph. You actually think there will be a next time? Victoria laughed before pointing out the pink cake she wanted to the shop employee. I would like this. There was a warm grin on the employee's face when she noticed Victoria was on a call the entire time. She thought Victoria was speaking to her boyfriend. Oh, how she envied Victoria, who was beautiful, sexy, and had a very caring boyfriend. She even placed Victoria's cake in a pretty gift box. Summer heard Victoria's exchange with the shop employee and immediately started her interrogation. Victoria Selwyn, are you eating desserts again? It's only a slice. No can do. Did you forget what the doctor said? You cannot eat anything. 8/9 sweet for now. What will you do if your cravings cause your blood sugar levels to increase drastically? That won't happen, right? I'm only having one slice. By then, the cake was packed away. Victoria paid and mouthed thanks to the employee before walking away with her cake. "I know," Victoria continued to say to Summer. "You," just as she pulled open the glass door of the shop, someone suddenly gave her a hard shove on the shoulder. Bang! Victoria's slender body loudly slammed into the glass door. The employee's eyes were wide with shock when she saw that. She hurried over. "Are you okay, miss?" the employee asked. Over the phone, Summer had heard the bang as well. "What happened? What is it?" "Victoria, are you okay?" Victoria frowned from the agonizing pain radiating from her shoulder. When the employee helped her to her feet, her first reaction was to reflexively stroke her stomach to ensure her baby was all right. When she was finally certain that the only pain in her body came from her shoulder, she heaved a sigh of relief. She then looked up at the person who slammed into her. Who was it? Why were they so careless when entering a store? Furthermore, so much time had passed since the crash. Why had they not offered an apology? The face she saw was strangely familiar. It took her a few seconds before she could recall the man's name from her subconscious. Christopher Drevel. What? Summer was confused by the name Victoria called out. Why does that name sound familiar? How are you? Are you okay? Even Christopher was shocked to hear his name on Victoria's red lips. He had not expected a beautiful and pampered young lady to recognize him after all these years. She even remembered his full name. After all, to the ladies in high society, the existence of ruffians like him was like ants. "I'll talk to you later. I have to handle this," Victoria said to Summer. She did not hang up, however. Summer cleverly kept quiet to listen in on what would happen next. "Why are you here?" Victoria asked Christopher as she held her aching shoulder. She seemed to have forgotten he had crashed hard into her. This was not what he had expected. Elaine had told him to hold back for now. However, it was impossible for him to sit back one second longer every time he recalled how Victoria had hurt Claudia so badly that Claudia's beautiful face would be scarred. He could not attack Victoria, but that did not mean he could not harass her. She would not be hurt from being shoved anyway. He only needed to say it was an accident and no one could do anything to him. He had not anticipated Victoria's response. It made him panic. It was a long while before he finally replied in a fierce tone, "I'm here to buy some cake." "Oh." Victoria nodded and smiled at him. "Do you work around here? Are you new to the area? I don't recall seeing you around here before." He was rendered speechless by that. After a few more moments of silence, he asked, "Aren't you angry that I crashed into you just now?" It was only then that she recalled she had been shoved into the glass door. Her shoulder was still aching, and he had not apologized for that yet. She had not expected the culprit to be someone she knew, however. At that thought, she replied, "It's fine. It must have been an accident." A menacing rage flashed in his eyes. She just deduced it was an accident. Was she naive or stupid? Still, her response had him at a loss. After all, he was here to teach her a lesson. All the schoolmates he bumped into over the years either did not recognize him or looked down on him. No one instantly knew who he was like how Victoria recognized him. She did not even get angry at him for crashing into her. The thought discomforted him while also filling him with curiosity. "How did you recognize me?" His lips tilted in scorn. "Rich young women like you detest problematic people like me the most, right? I was a problematic student back in school, and I'm not even a productive member of society now." Hearing that, she paused and went silent. "Was I right? Did you look down on me like those people?" he continued. She snapped out of her thoughts and turned to look him in the eyes. "What do you think would make someone a productive member of society?" she asked. Her question stunned him. "Everyone has their own job and place in the world. We're all humans. Why should I look down on you?" In the past, she might not have said anything to him. However, ever since the Selwyns went bankrupt, she had gained a better understanding of the world. A few moments later, a thought struck her. "I have to get back to work. Excuse me." She soon left the shop without spending a single moment scolding him for crashing into her. He stood there in thoughtful silence as he watched her leave. Moments later, he crushed the cigarette in his hands and walked away from the shop as well. "Who was that? Why didn't he apologize for bumping into you?" Summer questioned. "It was Christopher Drevel," Victoria replied. "Christopher? That name sounds familiar." She spent a few minutes trying to recall who that person was. With her cake in hand, Victoria smiled. "Don't you remember him? We studied in the same school," she prompted. The prompt that they had studied in the same school jolted Summer's memory as she exclaimed, "I remember now. I know who he is. Oh. He was one of Claudia's admirers. That's right. He bumped into you just now." Victoria nodded. She was about to respond when Summer continued, "Shoot. Does this mean he wants revenge because he knew Claudia was hurt?" Victoria froze when she heard that. "Revenge," she repeated. "Yes. He likes Claudia. You know that, right? Everyone in school knew that Christopher was Claudia's simp. That was because he had done a lot of shady stuff for Claudia even though she had always rejected his advances. Still, he was obsessed with his one-sided love. Due to his identity, everyone only looked down on him even more. From the conversation just now, this is your first time seeing him, right?" Summer asked. "Yes. How long have you been working at Cadogan Group? Have you ever seen him around? Why would he appear the moment Claudia gets injured? Do you think that's just a coincidence?" Victoria pursed her lips. "I had nothing to do with her injury," she said. "Boo, I know that. I only realized she injured herself because I have faith in you. What about Christopher? He has been her lackey for ages. Would he trust you? Not only would he not believe your word, but he might also attack you for that." Standing on the sidewalk, Victoria watched the people and cars going past her as she recalled what happened when she opened the door. She had not looked out of the door back then, so she could not know if he had crashed into her intentionally or by accident. However, there was one undeniable fact. The incident left her shoulder aching with sharp bursts of pain radiating from the spot. Chapter 117. Bang. Victoria's slender body loudly slammed into the glass door. The employee's eyes were wide with shock when she saw that. She hurried over. "Are you okay, miss?" the employee asked. Over the phone, Summer had heard the bang as well. "What happened? What is it?" "Victoria, are you okay?" Victoria frowned from the agonizing pain radiating from her shoulder. When the employee helped her to her feet, her first reaction was to reflexively stroke her stomach to ensure her baby was all right. When she was finally certain that the only pain in her body came from her shoulder, she heaved a sigh of relief. She then looked up at the person who slammed into her. Who was it? Why were they so careless when entering a store? Furthermore, so much time had passed since the crash. Why had they not offered an apology? The face she saw was strangely familiar. It took her a few seconds before she could recall the man's name from her subconscious. Christopher Drevel. What? Summer was confused by the name Victoria called out. Why does that name sound familiar? How are you? Are you okay? Even Christopher was shocked to hear his name on Victoria's red lips. He had not expected a beautiful and pampered young lady to recognize him after all these years. She even remembered his full name. After all, to the ladies in high society, the existence of ruffians like him was like ants. "I'll talk to you later. I have to handle this," Victoria said to Summer. She did not hang up, however. Summer cleverly kept quiet to listen in on what would happen next. "Why are you here?" Victoria asked Christopher as she held her aching shoulder. She seemed to have forgotten he had crashed hard into her. This was not what he had expected. Elaine had told him to hold back for now. However, it was impossible for him to sit back one second longer every time he recalled how Victoria had hurt Claudia so badly that Claudia's beautiful face would be scarred. He could not attack Victoria, but that did not mean he could not harass her. She would not be hurt from being shoved anyway. He only needed to say it was an accident and no one could do anything to him. He had not anticipated Victoria's response. It made him panic. It was a long while before he finally replied in a fierce tone, "I'm here to buy some cake." "Oh." Victoria nodded and smiled at him. "Do you work around here? Are you new to the area? I don't recall seeing you around here before." He was rendered speechless by that. After a few more moments of silence, he asked, "Aren't you angry that I crashed into you just now?" It was only then that she recalled she had been shoved into the glass door. Her shoulder was still aching, and he had not apologized for that yet. She had not expected the culprit to be someone she knew, however. At that thought, she replied, "It's fine. It must have been an accident." A menacing rage flashed in his eyes. She just deduced it was an accident. Was she naive or stupid? Still, her response had him at a loss. After all, he was here to teach her a lesson. All the schoolmates he bumped into over the years either did not recognize him or looked down on him. No one instantly knew who he was like how Victoria recognized him. She did not even get angry at him for crashing into her. The thought discomforted him while also filling him with curiosity. "How did you recognize me?" His lips tilted in scorn. "Rich young women like you detest problematic people like me the most, right?" I was a problematic student back in school, and I'm not even a productive member of society now." Hearing that, she paused and went silent. "Was I right? Did you look down on me like those people?" he continued. She snapped out of her thoughts and turned to look him in the eyes. "What do you think would make someone a productive member of society?" she asked. Her question stunned him. "Everyone has their own job and place in the world. We're all humans. Why should I look down on you?" In the past, she might not have said anything to him. However, ever since the Selwyns went bankrupt, she had gained a better understanding of the world. A few moments later, a thought struck her. "I have to get back to work. Excuse me." She soon left the shop without spending a single moment scolding him for crashing into her. He stood there in thoughtful silence as he watched her leave. Moments later, he crushed the cigarette in his hands and walked away from the shop as well. "Who was that? Why didn't he apologize for bumping into you?" Summer questioned. "It was Christopher Drevel," Victoria replied. "Christopher? That name sounds familiar." She spent a few minutes trying to recall who that person was. With her cake in hand, Victoria smiled. "Don't you remember him? We studied in the same school," she prompted. The prompt that they had studied in the same school jolted Summer's memory as she exclaimed, "I remember now. I know who he is. Oh. He was one of Claudia's admirers. That's right. He bumped into you just now." Victoria nodded. She was about to respond when Summer continued, "Shoot. Does this mean he wants revenge because he knew Claudia was hurt?" Victoria froze when she heard that. "Revenge," she repeated. "Yes. He likes Claudia. You know that, right? Everyone in school knew that Christopher was Claudia's simp. That was because he had done a lot of shady stuff for Claudia even though she had always rejected his advances. Still, he was obsessed with his one-sided love. Due to his identity, everyone only looked down on him even more. From the conversation just now, this is your first time seeing him, right?" Summer asked. "Yes. How long have you been working at Cadogan Group? Have you ever seen him around? Why would he appear the moment Claudia gets injured? Do you think that's just a coincidence?" Victoria pursed her lips. "I had nothing to do with her injury," she said. "Boo, I know that. I only realized she injured herself because I have faith in you. What about Christopher? He has been her lackey for ages. Would he trust you? Not only would he not believe your word, but he might also attack you for that." Standing on the sidewalk, Victoria watched the people and cars going past her as she recalled what happened when she opened the door. She had not looked out of the door back then, so she could not know if he had crashed into her intentionally or by accident. However, there was one undeniable fact. The incident left her shoulder aching with sharp bursts of pain radiating from the spot. Chapter 118. Returning to the office, Victoria placed the cake on the table. Her mood was great before she went downstairs, and she even had the appetite to eat, but now, she had lost them all. Currently, the scene of bumping into Christopher Drevel downstairs occupied her mind. Summer's words served as a reminder to her. as it was possible that running into Christopher was just a coincidence, she didn't want to assume anything bad about anyone. After all, the bakery downstairs was well known for its cakes, so it was only natural that it attracted many customers, but could there really be such a coincidence? Victoria had to bump into a classmate who she hadn't met in years, and that person happened to be Claudia's admirer at the same time Claudia was injured. At that thought, she opened the cake box, allowing the sweet scent of the cake to waft into her nostrils. Just as she cut a small slice of the cake and shoved it into her mouth, she made a decision. Whether or not it was a coincidence, she had to be extra cautious. If Christopher was here to avenge Claudia, then Victoria would try to avoid any potential threat that he could bring to her. If not, she would simply consider herself a narrow-minded person. Even though Claudia had promised her that she wouldn't stop her from keeping the child in her belly, there was no guarantee that she wouldn't change her mind. What if something happened later on? Victoria dared not imagine the possibilities. All in all, she just had to be extra careful for her unborn child's sake. Before getting off work, she went to Alaric's office and bumped into Peter, who was coming out of his office. As soon as he saw her, Peter walked up to her as if welcoming a close friend. "Miss Selwyn, are you here for Mr. Cadogan?" She halted in her steps and met his eyes. "What's wrong? Is he busy?" "No, of course not." Peter shook his head fervently. "He's getting off work soon. I thought you wouldn't come and see him, Miss Selwyn." Before Claudia showed up, Alaric would always wait for Victoria to come to his office before they left the company together. However, ever since Claudia showed up in the company, Victoria no longer came to his office except during working hours, so Peter thought she would never come again. At the mention of that, Victoria presented an awkward look without uttering a word. It had been a long time since she took Alaric's car home. If she hadn't considered her safety, she probably wouldn't have come to see him. "Go on in and look for Mr. Cadogan." "Okay." Victoria nodded at him, and when she passed by him, she heard him say, "Good luck, Miss Selwyn. Please take care." Victoria was stunned by his statement, but Peter had gone off with the documents in his hands. Standing on the spot with furrowed brows, she couldn't fathom his words. She could assume that Peter wished her luck because Alaric might favor her over Claudia, but why did he tell her to take care of herself? His statement sounded out of the blue, as if he knew something. She believed that she was very good at concealing her pregnancy, though. Except for the time Summer yelled at her in the office, nobody should know about it because even Yasmin acted normally. Whatever. He probably doesn't know about it. Victoria shook off her thoughts and continued heading to Alaric's office. The door to the office was closed, and just as she was about to knock on it, the door was opened, and out came Alaric with a blank face. Obviously, he did not expect her to look for him, so a slight hint of emotion appeared on his icy face. "Are you here for me?" Victoria withdrew her hand upon hearing that. Nodding her head, she replied, "Yeah. I don't feel so good, so I don't think I want to drive." "Can I?" At the sudden thought of something, she paused and continued, "Will you give me a ride home for these few days? What symptoms do you have?" She never expected him to ask about her condition as he scanned her from top to toe with a sharp gaze. Victoria froze for a moment. "Erm, that's not the point." The next moment, Alaric leaned down to hold her shoulders. "Then, what is it? Are you sick?" He had noticed how abnormal she had been behaving, as if she was hiding something from him. Even until today, he was skeptical of that report. Initially, he thought that she was diagnosed with a disease, so she tore the report into pieces. However, her explanation to him afterward was flawless. She claimed that the report was placed in her pocket when she was out under the heavy rain, so it was completely normal for it to be wet. After that, she diverted his attention to other issues, and so the situation was forgotten. "There's nothing wrong with me." While saying that, Victoria furrowed her brows. "Alaric, I told you I'm fine. Why don't you believe me? Do you wish that I'm sick?" At that, he frowned. "What nonsense are you talking about? If that's not it, then don't assume that I'm sick. The reason I said I don't feel good is because I'm too lazy to drive. Is that okay? Must you get to the bottom of it?" Her tone gradually sounded impatient, and she even shook his hand away. Nevertheless, Alaric was not upset at all. Instead, he stared at her with obsidian eyes. "Are you not upset with me anymore?" "What?" Victoria blurted. Alaric pursed his lips and uttered without much emotion, "Nothing." However, a smile was evident in his eyes. "Being lazy was an excuse, wasn't it? You just want to reconcile with me, so you came up with that reason." He took another glance at her and realized that she looked exactly the same as when she was younger. She had a hot temper, and every time they fought when they were young, she would stomp away and leave him alone. No matter how hard he tried to coax her, she would just ignore him, but when he became impatient, she would approach him like a little cub and make up all sorts of lame excuses in order to reconcile with him. That was what she was doing currently. Even though she wasn't sick, she came up with the excuse of being lazy in order to ride home with him. "Let's go." Alaric grabbed his car keys and took the lead, the gloomy mood clouding his mind and heart instantly cleared up. Thenning Victoria, on the other hand, was entirely unaware of his wild imagination. Seeing him leave, she hurriedly tagged along. As soon as they arrived at the parking lot, however, Claudia's call came. When his phone rang, Alaric took it out, checked the screen, and froze. The subtle change in his expression made Victoria sense something. Without even looking at him, she spoke. "I'll wait for you over there." After saying that, she left sensibly. Alaric pursed his lips and subconsciously clutched his phone in his hand. On the other hand, boredom overcame Victoria as she waited. Compared to her mood last time when she was standing on the side. While waiting for Alaric to talk to Claudia on the phone, Victoria carried a completely different feeling right now. Back then, she hadn't completely given up on him yet, so she felt uneasy and sad when he answered Claudia's calls. Now, however, it no longer affected her as much. It didn't matter anymore. Chapter 119. Alaric answered the phone and heard Claudia's gentle voice sounding from the other end. "Are you getting off work, Al? I suppose you must be free now, so I decided to call you.
Yeah.
Alaric glanced at Victoria and answered, I just got off work.
Great.
I was worried that I might disturb you.
How's Grandma?
I've been quite worried about her, so I couldn't rest well at all in the hospital.
If only she liked me.
I could have visited her in the hospital instead.
Every sentence coming out of Claudia's mouth always included Grandma, and that made Alaric feel bad for her.
His voice was lowered as he replied, You should focus on recovering now.
Don't think too much
about everything else.
Okay, Al.
I'm just worried about Grandma.
Can you take me over to see her on her operation day?
Perhaps she might not be upset if she sees me.
On the day of the operation?
Alaric pursed his lips and pondered on the situation.
Eventually, he came to the conclusion that it might be doable.
However, it still depended on the overall situation on that day.
I'll let you know on the operation day.
Claudia didn't expect him to agree readily, but she still decided to offer the suggestion.
The fact that he didn't reject her immediately meant that she had a chance.
Okay.
She hummed gently before asking tentatively, Are you free to come over, now?
I'm not trying to disturb you.
I just kind of miss you, and my wound.
It hurts so bad.
The doctor came to tell me that it might take a very long time to heal.
At the mention of her injury, Alaric knitted his brows.
He did have time, and he also promised her that he would take the time to see her.
However,
Alaric glanced at Victoria once again and uttered in a baritone voice, I'll drop by another day.
Take care.
Since she was rejected twice in a row now, Claudia pulled a long face.
Despite that, she had no choice but to respect his decision.
Okay.
Victoria waited for about 3 minutes and noticed that Alaric was still on the phone, so she fished out her phone and decided to arrange tomorrow's to-do list. However, after scrolling through her phone for some time, Alaric was mysteriously behind her all of a sudden.
At the same time, he spoke up abruptly, Let's go.
Victoria was startled because she didn't expect that he ended the call as soon as she took out her phone.
Hence, she shoved the phone into her bag and inquired, Are you done?
That's quick.
Alaric's expression darkened when he heard that.
Was it quick?
How long did you expect me to be on the call?
Victoria twitched her lips awkwardly and changed the subject.
Shall we go now?
Her tone was slightly raised at the end of the question.
Alaric's expression looked even worse than before.
Are you going to stay here then?
Leaving her with that, he went to start the car with a long face.
Victoria stood on the ground, stunned.
Wasn't he on a call with his lover?
Why is he so moody after the phone call?
WWWM anyway, she had no intention of getting into an argument with him.
Even if it was just bickering or something simple that might ruin the mood between the two of them, she wouldn't risk doing them.
After all, she needed his protection for now.
If she were to follow Alaric around every day to and from the company, anyone who wanted to seek revenge on her might not easily attack if she was with a man.
At that thought, she quickened her pace and tagged along.
Every day after that, besides familiar and safe places, Victoria would follow Alaric to and from the company.
She didn't even touch her own car and made sure that she was never left alone. Her behavior made Alaric reminisce about the old times. When they were kids, she used to stick to him like gum. Back then, he never felt annoyed by her existence. Instead, he found it comforting, and if she was willing, he didn't even seem to mind letting her follow him around for the rest of his life. Such thoughts hidden in the deepest part of his heart prompted him to analyze his feelings again. However, every time he had such thoughts, another woman would pop up in his mind. She looked pitiful and fragile, but she desperately risked her life to save him, and she was also always considerate of him. Moreover, he had promised her that his heart would always be open for her. After realizing that he was in a great dilemma, Alaric felt like the heavens were pulling a joke on him. Otherwise, how was it possible for one to fall for two persons at the same time? Having that thought in his mind, he simply tossed the pen on the table and lost the mood to work. On the fourth day, Benedict sent a message to inform them to bring Griselda to the hospital and that they should be on standby for the surgery. Hence, everyone from the Cadogan family had to put aside any other thoughts or any other tasks at hand to focus on Griselda's surgery. Once Adrian completed his task, he returned from overseas to take care of Griselda at the hospital. After the registration was done, Griselda was pushed into the VIP ward in a wheelchair. The ward was well equipped with a water heater, TV, and floor heaters. Moreover, it was well cleaned, and they could even faintly smell the disinfectant in the room. "The room smells of disinfectant," Mary commented as soon as she entered the ward. When she turned around, she already noticed Victoria had opened the windows for ventilation. Even though it was just a small and seemingly insignificant act, Mary couldn't help shooting Victoria a thumbs up. Her daughter-in-law was indeed a sensible one. She wasn't just pretty, but she was also capable. Her son must have lucked out to have married her. The lucky man mentioned was currently taking a call outside the ward, causing Mary to give him an eye roll. "Isn't this ward great, Mom? It's spacious and bright." Griselda scanned her surroundings after entering the ward. Subsequently, the nodded in satisfaction. "I can't even be picky when they offer such good facilities in the ward," Adrian, on the other hand, blurted straightforwardly, "there's no use in being picky because this is the best room available." Mary clicked her tongue and glared at him. "If you don't have anything nice to say, just keep quiet." After being reprimanded by Mary, Adrian felt embarrassed and kept quiet. At the same time, Alaric returned after answering the call. "Dr. Sully told us that the surgery will be held tomorrow afternoon." Upon hearing that, everyone in the room turned toward Griselda in unison. She chuckled upon meeting everyone's gaze. "Why are you all looking at me like that?" Victoria couldn't help but utter, "Take it easy, Grandma. It's just a minor surgery. It'll be over before you know it." Griselda nodded at that. "MMHM. I've decided to move on and keep an open mind. Don't worry about me." Initially, she wanted to say that even if she died during the surgery, she would have to accept her fate, but at the thought of how Victoria bawled the other day when she said that, Griselda decided against it. Then, she looked at Victoria, who was sighing nervously while looking at her. "Oh, poor child." Chapter 120. "Is she going for the surgery in 2 days?" Claudia clutched the phone in her hand, but she couldn't hide the joy and excitement in her tone. Finally, Griselda was going for surgery. Old Mrs. Cadogan wouldn't pull another trick, would she? That's great. I'm sure Grandma's surgery will go well. Thanks. While in a cheerful mood, she asked, Al, remember what I told you that day? Can I come over on Grandma's surgery day? Don't worry. I'll just stay outside the ward and leave after a while. I don't need you to fetch me either. I'll just come over and take a peek. Can I? However, the silence was all that greeted her. After some time, he uttered in a deep voice, I don't want any accidents, of Claudia. Upon hearing that, she froze. What do you mean? Grandma needs time to recover after the surgery. Upon hearing that, she understood what he meant. Unreconciled, she bit her lower lip and argued, but I wasn't planning to expose myself. I'll just be there as your friend. Since she's undergoing surgery, I'm just coming over to visit out of concern. Can't I even do that? Perhaps, she might be happy to see me. This is not a minor surgery, Claudia. Calming herself down, Claudia took some time to recollect herself. Sorry, Al. You're right. I was full of myself earlier. Sorry. I was too eager to visit Grandma because I'm worried about her. I wasn't thoughtful enough. Just focus on your recovery. That was all Alaric could say to her. Without a choice, Claudia hung up. Then, she bit her lower lip and told Elaine to come in. I have good news. She had to speak to Alaric on the phone earlier, so she told Elaine to leave the ward. In all honesty, Elaine wasn't happy with that. She had offered so much help to Claudia, so what was the problem with her listening to their conversation? Anyway, that wasn't important. She dared not speak out, hence she could only quietly wait outside the ward. What is it? Al's grandma will be getting the surgery in these 2 days, so I suppose it's tomorrow. Claudia clutched the hem of her shirt in excitement. Once Griselda's surgery is over, Al will divorce Victoria. I shouldn't have to worry by that time, right? Of course. Elaine smirked. You're his life savior, remember. He'll be forever grateful to you. Hearing the word grateful, Claudia was slightly dissatisfied. After all, she didn't just want his gratitude. At that thought, she lowered her eyes and muttered, but if he is only grateful toward me, no way. Elaine quickly rebutted. Judging from how he treats you, I doubt that he's only grateful to you. Don't worry. He's just temporarily blinded by Victoria, and that is a common mistake that all guys make. Once she leaves him, he will focus his attention all on you. Yeah. Thanks, Elaine. Claudia raised her head and shot her friend a sweet smile. Right. These 2 days will be critical. You must help me keep an eye on Christopher and prevent him from doing anything impulsive. Otherwise, our plan will go down the drain. Elaine would have almost forgotten about it if Claudia hadn't brought it up. Once she left the ward, she gave Christopher a call. Be on standby to attack within these 2 days. Once Griselda finished her surgery, what was the use of keeping Victoria? The reason Alaric was still spoiling her was most likely to put on a show in front of Griselda. Christopher then questioned, "Didn't you say that it would be too soon for us to attack Victoria? Wouldn't it make people misunderstand Claudia? Didn't I say that a few days ago? How many days have passed? Is a few days a big difference? Are you doing it or not? If you're taking the job, I'll send you the details. Tomorrow." Christopher went silent when Elaine spoke in such an aggressive way. Elaine waited for some time but didn't get his reply, so she narrowed her eyes. "Are you pulling out now, Christopher? Turns out you're just all talk. I knew that men like you are never sincere. All you do is talk big. I thought you were different." Christopher was instantly worked up due to her words. In a tone filled with dismay, he rebutted, "Who the hell told you I'm pulling out? Do you really think I can't beat women?" Elaine was taken aback by his sudden outburst of emotion, so it took her a while to recollect herself. I thought you didn't want to help Claudia anymore, so I will help her, but not you, so you better be polite when you're speaking to me, or don't blame me for teaching you a lesson too. Got it?" After hanging up the phone, only one thought was present in her mind: gangster. Christopher was a gangster. The fact that Claudia made friends with him would eventually lead her to her demise. Despite that, he was a good candidate to be taken advantage of. After all, if he really did something out of impulse due to his hot temper, they could easily push the blame on him, and no one would even question that. His character and background were enough to give off the impression that he wasn't a kind being. The next day, Victoria nearly went without sleep for the whole night. Hence, she decided to get up early and take a ride with Alaric. While they were having breakfast at the dining table, he noticed that she looked paler than yesterday. Not only that, she didn't even seem to have any appetite for breakfast. Every time she picked up her fork and brought the food to her lips, she would put it down again after seemingly thinking about something. Just like that, she repeated the same set of actions many times. Eventually, Alaric couldn't hold back from asking, "Do you want to pass out because of low blood sugar when Grandma is in the hospital?" Upon hearing that, Victoria finally shook herself out of her thoughts and noticed that she hadn't eaten even a bite of the food while Alaric's plate was already empty. "Don't be nervous. Dr. Sully is a skilled doctor. There shouldn't be a problem," Alaric comforted her. "Okay." Victoria forced a smile. "I know." Regardless of that acknowledgement, her body and heart just couldn't agree with his statement. Eventually, she only managed to eat a mouthful under Alaric's supervision. Before they left, Hector made her a banana oat smoothie and even added some honey to it. Victoria couldn't help but praise him. "Mr. Bowen is really considerate." Alaric had his hands on the steering wheel while he remarked, "That's because you're like a child who needs to be taken care of." That statement took Victoria slightly aback. Once she divorced him, he wouldn't care for her like that anymore, would he? While in a trance, she suddenly felt a cold gaze landing on her. That feeling was like a snake tangled around her neck, which sent a chill down her spine. Subconsciously, she looked in a certain direction. The car had just arrived at the entrance of the hospital, and the direction she was looking at was exactly where a dense forest could be seen.